Welcome to the Northridge Vineyard podcast. We're a real community of people who are passionate about pursuing God and growing in our relationship with Him. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information and other resources, please visit northridge.org.au.
So, for all this, you need to be nice to me. Yeah, I'm so afraid of your wife, actually.
Really?
We can talk. No, I just know that I can get rumbling, so, you know, I took the notes. Okay, and the timers go. So my name is Dinara, for those who don't know me, and I've been a believer for more than 20 years. I'm actually 45 now.
Woo.
Yeah. So, and for 44 years of my life, I lived in Kazakhstan. That's a country, ex-Soviet country in Central Asia. So we came here to Sydney because my husband got a job in Amazon, and I just followed him. So. Yeah. Actually, it's one of the things that, you know, he's been working in his previous job for 9 years, and he was bored and all that, and I actually prayed a lot for him to get a job, and also I prayed for an interesting job, and I prayed that this job is not in Astana. Astana is a second coldest capital in the world, and that's the second kind of larger city in Kazakhstan. We lived in Almaty, so, and as you probably all know, that God is full of surprises, and here comes the job in Sydney. So we took it. You know, it's amazing, because if someone told me in 1984, when I was 11, when I was at school, it was Soviet, that I would, at some point of my life, be in Sydney, I would never believe that. And actually, you have to know that, you know, I lived in the actual 1984, the novel by George Orwell. So, really, it amazes me how much everything changed so far. But I remember, like, you know, we always lived as in kind of a nice concentration camp for kids, in a way. I mean, the school was like, we always would have we would gather before the classes and do like things, and actually teachers would look if none of us would have earrings, and, you know, anything, some makeup for the girls who got like 14. You know, it was so, looking back, I think that it was so kind of dehumanized, let's say, in a way. And also I remember that when my brother-in-law, I've got five older sisters, he worked in the plant, and it was 1984 when they started, those communist leaders started dying, and the next would come, die, next would come. We were lived in a kind of in a funeral agency, in a way, in the size of the whole country, because it was like funeral after funeral on the Red Square and all that. And he told an anecdote about that, a joke about that, in his like small crew at work. It was only like 10 people. And the very next day, he was called into KGB. So he doesn't know still who was that of those 9 people, but this was, you know, the environment we lived in. Okay, so, and you can imagine from this that Bible was out of the question. I mean, the any religion, actually. So, but it changed very much in late 80s when Gorbachev came, and it was the wind of changes, kind of. It changed a lot. And one of the changes was for me at school also is that we were finally allowed to read a lot of literature that was written during those years, but that was kind of forbidden. And it was amazing that we would just discover, you know, books. And it was for me, late 80s was all about books. And when I already went to the university, our literature teacher, she had a course based on Bible. Because, like she said, that Bible stories of biblical stories are everywhere. In the art, you see them everywhere, so you have to kind of know them. But I, by then, was in the university, so I kind of always wanted to know this as a... For me, then, it was a literary kind of... It was a book, let's say, just usual book. So, and when I was in the university, I went to Almaty from my small hometown. I once went to... I saw the at Bible study. It was the early 90s. Lots of missionaries fled into the country, but I didn't know that. And I just went there. And this was the first Christians I met. But they had some, I would say, peculiar outlook on the world. Actually, their message was like, become a Christian, and then you will prosper, you will have money, you will have like something. Like it was kind of a petty exchange. And I thought, no, I'm fine, thank you, and that's it. And only after 5 years more, when I worked after the university, I met people, actually a girl at basketball I went to. And she was Polish. She lived in Kazakhstan by then for several years. And we just got acquainted and we, like, you know, and she introduced me to a group of people, and that was very different group of people for me, because it was, I saw that it sounds cliche, but they were happy people. They were people full of light, I would say. They were people, like, you know, if I think it's in Habakkuk, is this the name of the book? Okay, the last three verses say that if nothing happens, if I have no food and, you know, no cattle, still I can rejoice in you, Lord, something like that. So, and I think that those people, yeah, thank you. So those people lived like this, but I didn't know why. So, but I was instantly attracted to them. And in a very short time, we started reading Bible with Kasia. And also the strange thing is, I remember, is that the first Bible Bible reading, kind of, was for me, it was the in English, New International Version. And that was because, you know, I grew up in a small town in eastern Kazakhstan. I was one of three Kazakh or Asian looking, you know, pupils there. And it was, everybody around was Russian. So we lived in a small, kind of very, very tight-knit community of Kazakhs, like about 40 families. And it was for me, from my childhood, it was kind of like, you know, hostile environment without and very warm and loving family and community within. So it was, I felt like a bit of, I don't know, Jewish diaspora kind of got vibe. So and My mom, she never went to the university, so she always, like, you know, she loved simple explanations to things. And if I would, you know, ask her something like, why our neighbors, like, drink so much, she would say, they are Russian. Why, like, our neighbor's son left and never came and never visits his old parents. She would say, they are Russian. So everything was... So for me, when I grew up, everything, like, good was everything bad, I would say, would kind of account to that Russian culture. And believe it or not, but when I was 20-something, I had this creepy feeling that I would open the Bible in Russian. And by that time, I understood that this is something about, like, spiritual matters, in a way. And I was afraid that I don't know, my eyes would turn blue and I will, you know, my skin would become white and I basically will become Russian. So, which is why it's silly how, and it's interesting how those cultural barriers sometimes, like, you know, they prevent you from things, but still. And a side note that, you know, the sense of humor, God's sense of humor is so that 10 years later I married a guy who is Russian, or at least calls himself Russian. So I kind of overcame that. And I started reading. And I studied in the university. I studied applied mathematics, so I'm very kind of structured, let's say, in my thinking. I've been reading Bible for more than 2 years, and after 2 years, I knew I could actually preach on streets. Except that I didn't kind of accept that message, but I knew the message. I knew what. There is, but I kind of thought that, you know, it's for weak people, and I saw myself as strong one, you know, and but still, the interesting thing is that I kept reading, I kept going back to Bible. I don't know why, and I think that this was the spirit, and also the message of love from God, maybe, that attracted me to. And I remember that Kasia said me afterwards that, you know, it was so different with you, because everybody else in our group, they answered to the message almost immediately, like on emotions in a way, and you would know everything, but there was nothing, and I didn't know what to do. But what they did, they prayed for me a lot, and I think that was what made the difference, because after 2 years, more than 2 years, there was a moment when my eyes just opened, and I saw that. Basically, you know, I saw that people whom I thought, even in this group, whom I thought being weak and being, I thought, why is she always, like, cries a lot and all that? Why is she so emotional? Let her get things done, things like that. But I saw that, you know, those people were actually stronger than me, because they let themselves to be vulnerable, to expose themselves. I think that this is one of the messages in scripture as well, that Jesus just, he exposed himself, and he took this risk, and this is just all of this just because of the love and relationship. So I think it was just kind of spiritual revelation then for me that, and when I saw, like, with honest eyes to my life, I saw that I'm actually very, I don't know what's the word, I'm fencing my life, is it? So I'm kind of keeping my life small, but secure in a way. And don't get me wrong, I was popular in the university. I would be in the theater. I would, like, you know, be a programmer. I would help people with this and that, and I would do lots of stuff. But I think that inside, I was very, I think that nobody kind of was allowed deep inside, let's say, not even my closest friends, maybe. So, and at that moment, I saw all that I'm actually just a small, petty, scared girl who is not brave enough to just step out and go into the bigger world. And because being, I don't know, being a human, being a person, means that you get hurt, you know. And this was also the example that Jesus gave me, that, you know, he was okay with getting hurt. That was also, and I think that one of the reasons why I was in this, because I was, like, perfectly from inside, I was just a, you know, I studied, I was bright, I was smart, I even looked better than now. Yeah, because that was 30 kilos less, you know. So basically, but there was also a reason, I think, because when I was 16, I found out that, they found out that I will never be able to have children. And I think that, you know, although it was late 80s, but we lived in such a patriarchic, this small community that I mentioned, it was very warm, it was tightly knit, but it was also very patriarchic and traditional, I would say. So this would be a burden like the one, I don't know, Sarah had, or Leah, or whoever. Anna, I think. Hannah. So, and I remember my mom, who, by the way, had 5 daughters, she said, you have to think something, like, on how your life, on what to do with your life. And this was, for me, it was a message. And this is how she understood the life. It's not that she didn't love me, but it was her life, like, you know, no kids, no family, no kind of close relationships. So I think that was also the part of the, you know, the reason why I kind of got myself into a shell a bit. I hope I'm not shocking you with all the confessions. But anyway, no, I think that this was the time. And when I accepted God's love, it gave me, I don't know, it just kind of, it was as if for the first time in my life, probably, apart from, like, being a kid, it was, I think it was okay just to be me, as I am. Like, just bare me with no kind of accomplishments, or, I don't know, like, fertility and all that stuff. Like, she's a pillar, blah, blah, blah. No, that. So this was the moment for me when I just, it was a moment when I just relaxed, literally, you know, and it was kind of, but the funny thing is that also at that time, because I was a control freak in a way, I was a control freak, I thought that, okay, God, let's make a deal. I'm in this state now, and I know you can heal me. Let's give it a year. And after, I really thought that after a year, like it was like, you know, going into Kung Fu school. Like after a year, I will be perfect, and then I will live my life just by myself. But I think that even like in 2-3 days after I actually kind of accepted Jesus's sacrifice and God's love, I understood that this will be forever. So, and since then it's been I don't know, a journey for me, but also I think it was, for me really, my life is example of what Jesus said, that you will know the truth and truth will make you free. So and I really got this, I don't know, freedom to just be as I am, to kind of not be afraid of the relationships, not to be afraid. Like, I would never say someone, I love you, even in my family before that. And I think I changed a lot after that, because I think I would became more human and less robotic, in a way. And also I became, God made me, it's said in the Bible, but that God kind of mends people and also make their stone hearts kind of flesh. Yeah, that, I think that's what happened to me, because I had my heart frozen and put into a fridge so that it doesn't kind of get hurt, but with God's love and acceptance and strength, I think he made my heart flesh, and it changed, you know, I think every single aspect of my life. So it made me, I don't know, brave in taking chances, in getting closer with people, in lots of things. So what happened since then, I remember that when I repented, it was, I know the actual date, it was 1st of August 1998, because it was real moment, it was a decision for me. And I remember that I cried for like 2-3 hours straight. Just, it was like, you know, like all this burden was conserved, and then I opened this Pandora box and everything, like, you know, started flowing out in a way. And so, but God, I think that God healed it very, very quickly, because love is just a, you know, it can overcome everything. And this is, I know it sounds a bit cliche, but this is actually what happened in my life. So, and what I had is that, I mean, what changed is that, because I accepted that I'm a woman, you know, because before that I was kind of trying to act as a, I don't know, tomboy kind of, so that I thought that, you know, if someone would fall in love with me, then it would be, I would be as if I deceived someone, because, you know, I'm not a woman actually, because woman meant I can give you children. So with God, I accepted that I can be a woman actually. I can build up people, you know, I can just make this world kind of more beautiful place, that my belief is that what women do here. So and I accepted that I will probably at some point be able to have a family. So that was a huge change. It didn't happen, I mean, straight, but it was at least, I mean, it was because I used to run out of relationships, and I used to kind of put the barriers to when I thought that someone is. I actually, you know, I think I acted as a bad guy from some TV show, you know, like, you know, when you get closer, and then, okay, never call me again, and you know, things like that. So, yeah. So I think that changed also. I accepted my body, I mean, the way my body looked, because also I was too skinny, and it, for me it was, and I looked different from all of my sisters. They were more like this kind of a generous, curvy types, yeah. So, and this for me then was also the you know, the kind of the sign that I'm something's wrong with me. So I accepted my body as well. And it's pity that I only had about 15 years to enjoy that. Then I just started gaining weight. I'm just joking. So I gained weight, but still, I can't be happy with how I look. I remember soon after I became a believer, there was a question: am I actually afraid of death? I was asking myself that, and then I remember soon after I became a believer, I had a dream, and the dream was about me dying, you know, and it was like that I'm dying, and people who know me, my family, they cry, but I don't care about them. I mean, I don't care about death, because I meet someone. And I wouldn't say that I saw like a man with the usual, like, you know, the images of Jesus, but it was Jesus, and he just hugged me, and it was warm, and it was the moment of perfect happiness to me. So, and with this, like, you know, when I woke up, I said, now I'm not afraid of death. So you know, even if when we discuss this, I say, even if it will be like, you know, long death on the bed and all that, the suffering, I'm okay with that. So what else? And I think that the most important thing is that I became able to enjoy life at fullest. This is what Jesus said. But when we read about life in fullest out of the brink, we always feel that it will be money in fullest, or I don't know, happiness in fullest. But I think that also it also means that we will maybe suffer in fullest, and we'll love in fullest, we will broken hearted in fullest, but this is all is a huge life that God wants us to give, because for him, I think that relationships is the most important part, and this is what kind of was missing from my life, I think. Real, deep, very sometimes intense, maybe, relationship. So, and this is what I've got. And I still have a minute and a half. So, so this is what I wanted to just share. And I think that's it.